Case Rosario v. Holder.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Garrett Levin, and I represent the petitioner in this matter, Manuel De Jesus Familia Rosario. The issue in this case is, what does it mean for an offense to relate to the owning, controlling, managing, or supervising of a prostitution business? The agency adopted an interpretation that has no meaningful limit, reads out key words of the statutory provision, and elevated Mr. Familia Rosario from a delivery boy to someone involved in the owning, controlling, managing, or supervising of a prostitution business. But the inclusion of the phrase "relates to" in the statutory provision requires that the offense of conviction involve the functional equivalent of owning, controlling, managing, or supervising a prostitution business. Thus, under the plain meaning of the words of the statute, Mr. Familia Rosario is not an aggravated felon. Moreover, in reaching its aggravated felony determination, the agency incorrectly focused on the object of the underlying conspiracy and essentially treated Mr. Familia Rosario as if he was a co-conspirator rather than an aider and abettor. For these reasons, the agency's conclusion that Mr. Familia Rosario is an aggravated felon should be reversed. First, the agency's interpretation of 8 U.S.C. 1101 43A K1 essentially makes it an aggravated felony to commit any offense related to a prostitution business. But to be an aggravated felon under 43 K1, Familia Rosario's offense must have a relationship with the specific conduct of owning, controlling, managing, or supervising a business. This statute is not written like those statutes that cover offenses related to a controlled substance, related to counterfeiting, related to forgery. Instead, it includes the words owning, controlling, managing, or supervising. And thus, the statute is clearly limited on its face to the scope of those people who perform those essential functions or equivalent functions. In other words, the actions must involve the direction of an enterprise. Under the agency's interpretation, on the other hand, being supervised relates to supervision, as Mr. Familia Rosario was in fact supervised or managed, but had no role in the managing or control or supervision or owning of the prostitution business. The statute at issue, 43K1, covers broadens the scope of coverage of those offenses that could be aggravated felonies beyond just simply owning, controlling, managing, or supervising. But it does not broaden it beyond anything that is the equivalent of that conduct. For example, there are state statutes that refer specifically to the owning, controlling, managing, or supervising of prostitution as an offense commonly referred to in these statutes as promoting prostitution in a particular degree, for example, in the second degree. But many of those states also feature offenses for promoting prostitution in a lesser degree that does not involve owning, controlling, managing, or supervising. Under the first category, the higher degree of promoting prostitution, those individuals would likely be categorically be aggravated felons. However, under the second, the lesser degree, those individuals would categorically not be aggravated felons. The agency...
And before you go on, can you just address the statutory modified categorical approach?
Absolutely, Your Honor. That's exactly where I was heading.
Yeah, I think you set it up to get to that, because I think that's really critical here, because the modified categorical approach only helps us to determine which portion of the statute we're in, right?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Under the approach for analyzing an aggravated felony, the first step is to determine the crime of conviction. And under that step, the agency made a critical error because it focused on 8 U.S.C. Section 1328, which is not Mr. Familia Rosario's crime of conviction. He was not convicted as a substantive offender under 1328, nor was he convicted as a co-conspirator under Section 1328.
But if we assume that that's the proper statute to utilize, if that's the proper statute, once we determine we're under the prostitution prong of the statute, why is that automatically an offense that relates to the ownership, control, supervision, or management of a prostitution business? Isn't that the question?
Well, that is part of the question, Your Honor. The other issue is that if this court were to decide that Section 1328 is, in fact, the correct statute to analyze, the BIA incorrectly analyzed how it is divisible, for lack of a better word, by focusing solely on the fact that the statute criminalizes importation of individuals for the purpose of prostitution and also for any other immoral purpose. But Section 1328 on its face actually criminalizes numerous additional offenses, including keeping, maintaining, controlling, supporting, employing, or harboring in any house or other place for the purpose of prostitution or any other immoral purpose any alien that has been brought in. And so not only did the BIA focus on the wrong statute by looking to Section 1328, which was not the crime of conviction, it applied an improper analysis under the second step of the modified categorical approach, which is to determine what it was, what the actual offense under Section 1328 was. And in fact, this error by the BIA highlights why it was a mistake to go to Section 1328, because by going to Section 1328, the agency then said, well, the purpose of the business was prostitution, and so it falls under the prostitution prong of 1328 rather than the other immoral purpose. But even under 1328, Mr. Camilo Rosario's offense would not have fallen under the importation prong, but rather to the extent 1328 could have been applied, which, again, is not the proper approach under the categorical approach, it would not have been applied. That is not the proper part of the statute to look at.
Well, because what he did was just apply condoms.
Correct, Your Honor. That's exactly right. He supplied condoms and had no role in the owning, controlling, managing, or supervising. The BIA, although it did not cite to any of this case law, appears to contend that simply because the object of the underlying conspiracy was to run a prostitution business, any assistance that Mr. Familiar Rosario provided was in furtherance of that and is therefore related to the owning, controlling, or managing. But that gets back to the original problem of that means that anyone who is supervised or managed or provides any sort of low-level assistance is related to owning, controlling, or managing. But the proper focus for Mr. Familiar Rosario's conviction was actually on Section 18 U.S.C. 371, which is his crime of conviction. Under that, his conduct is not criminalized because he was a party to the conspiratorial agreement, but rather because he provided assistance. And that assistance simply does not rise to the level of owning, controlling, managing, or supervising of a prostitution business.
Thanks, Lum. Khalil?
Before you clear your throat and get rolling, I have a modest question. Government takes the position that absent the activity of the defendant, the prostitution ring couldn't operate. Am I correct?
Your Honor, that is...
Well, that's what you said.
A functional facilitator.
The government takes the position that his work was vital to the prostitution, otherwise it couldn't function.
It's vital to the prostitution.
And the only thing he did was supply condoms to the houses of prostitution.
Yes, that he understood.
And you think a house of prostitution cannot function unless they're being supplied with condoms?
I think that he played a vital role.
No, I ask you, do you think a house of prostitution can function without condoms?
I believe so. I believe it could, yes,
Your Honor. Well, your brief didn't say that. It said without that vital thing, the prostitution wouldn't have functioned.
Effectively, it would not function.
Yeah, well, what do you mean effectively it wouldn't function? It either function or it doesn't function. I want to know if you really sincerely believe in the government's position is the supply of condoms is necessary for the operation of our houses of prostitution.
No, Your Honor, we think it's vital to the constitution.
Well, it might be, but it certainly doesn't. The prostitution ring can carry on nobly without condoms.
Of course it could, yes, Your
Honor. As a matter of fact, the supplying of condoms has the salutary effect of cutting down diseases and unwanted pregnancies. So, in effect, he was serving the nation as opposed to being aiding and conducting prostitution. And I want to know how that moves into a form of the crime that we throw people out of the country for. I should think the medical profession would be following around and give them a medal, but go ahead.
Mr. Leo, when you were mooted for this argument, and I suspect you were, was that question advanced?
Yes, Your Honor. There is no question that I was fully prepared to accept the brunt.
You don't have to answer that. I don't want to get into the Justice Department's
May it please reparations. Your Honors, Attorney Sabatino F. Leo on behalf of the United States.
Pardon me, I just want to interject that I was a state prosecutor for a great number of years and a prostitute, and there was never a problem having to do with absence of condoms or presence.
Understood, Your Honor, and again, Sabatino F. Leo on behalf of the government, Your Honor. And in this particular case, we think that the issue is quite simple, whether the conviction that the petitioner pled guilty to, the aiding and abetting of a conspiracy to commit prostitution, was an aggravated felony under the Immigration and Nationality Act. And if you look real closely at what the board and what the immigration judge did, they effectively categorized his conviction as one that is over-inclusive, and as a result moved on to the next step that was initially discussed, did not conduct a categorical approach that's set forth in Taylor, but conducted what was it? A modified categorical approach, meaning that in order to determine effectively if the individual pled guilty to an aggravated felony, they had to look to the underlying plea.
Well, under the modified categorical approach, aren't we only to look at the record of conviction to determine what prong of 1328 we're dealing with, prostitution or some other immoral purpose?
Under the modified categorical approach, it's our contention that you can look to the information and judgment and the factual plea to make a determination of whether or not that conviction was an aggravated felony, that it fell outside, that it falls within the generic definition of aggravated felony under 101A 43KI relating to the owning, controlling, managing, and supervising of a prostitution business.
Well, why is the government's position we should consider that the object of this conspiracy was to run a prostitution business? Isn't that now treading on a factual inquiry rather than looking at the record of conviction to determine whether it was prostitution or some other immoral purpose? You're having us go beyond that. They went beyond that.
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think if you look at the information in judgment, it says knowingly aided and abetted a conspiracy to import aliens for prostitution. And the factual plea, knowingly aiding and abetting, from in or about 2006 to May 19, 2007, two or more persons came to an agreement to run a prostitution operation. And it's our understanding, and it was the board's decision, the IJ's decision, and the board's affirmation and supplementation of that decision, that the basis of that factual plea, to run a prostitution operation, that those mere terms in and of itself.
How about the guy that supplied the towels for the towel boys? Would he be part of the prostitution?
Your Honor, it would depend upon the nature.
We hired him ahead of time. We're going to put up this prostitution ring, and we want you to supply the towels.
If the individual knowingly admitted to understanding that this was a prostitution operation and subsequently acted in furtherance of it, and one of the aspects of acting in furtherance of it was to deliver any type of item to that particular...
Anything at all. Soap.
That is correct, Your Honor. If you have to look at the entire factual plea, That is the position of the board.
But you have to take the position of what he did in participating.
And that is correct.
He was doing something that was vital to the operation itself.
And it's our contention.
I know it's your contention.
If you plead to aiding and abetting, that's the end of the inquiry. Is that it, Mr. Leo? We don't need to go into the details of the degree of aiding and abetting. Is that kind of where you're at?
Well, I think so, based upon the nature of this particular enterprise, the aiding and abetting of the conspiracy to commit the prostitution, that he knowingly understood that there was a prostitution operation. And one thing that needs to be clear here, Your Honors, is that it's not owning, supervising, or managing. It has to relate to the owning, controlling, management, and supervising. And based upon the numerous cases that have set forth before this court with regard to the expansion of that term relates to, specifically with regard to the board's interpretation of relates to a matter of Beltran, and specifically with regard to this court's deference to the agency decision with regard to the interpretation of its
own. Well, I admit they know more about prostitution than a lot of people, but I mean, that doesn't mean I have to bend to their decision as what constitutes furtherance to the prostitution ring. I mean, the activity that this guy was involved in struck me as being periphery to the whole thing. It has nothing to do with the successful operation of the institute.
Respectfully, Your Honor, I think we can't look at this so narrowly and with respect to just
I bet you I can.
And then I think you, the IJ, and the BIA looked at the record of conviction not to determine which part of the underlying statute his conviction fell under, but rather to determine the facts of his actual purpose. And you use that purpose in determining whether his conviction was for an offense that relates to the owning of and controlling and managing of the business. And so, my analysis is very similar to what Judge Bauer is asking you about. I just don't see that. I don't think the modified categorical approach was used appropriately here.
Obviously, our position is otherwise, in that in light of this court's decision in Geiskopf and the decision with regard to granting the agency deference, we think that in this particular situation, with regard to the board's, as it supplemented the IJ's decision, with regard to interpretation of its own statutes, with regard to the burden being now on the alien to submit by a preponderance of the evidence that he was not convicted of an aggravated felony, it is our position that the petition for review should be denied.
Well, let me ask you this. What about an individual who imports an alien to serve as his personal prostitute? Have there been prosecutions brought under this statute such as these? Would he meet the elements of 1328 if it was just brought, imported an alien to serve as a personal prostitute?
It's not a prostitution operation, Your Honor.
Wouldn't a conviction under 1328 for personal prosecution be for conduct that is not an aggravated felony, as it does not relate to a business?
It could be, Your Honor, but isn't that the issue, though, is because it could be, it's now over-inclusive. So now the board and the agency has to look behind the statute and look to the factual plea, the information and judgment, which is exactly and precisely what the agency did here to make that determination of not whether or not he owned, controlled, managed, or supervised, whether or not his conduct relates to the owning, controlling, managing, and supervising.
And in your mind, that's an aggravated felony.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Thank you, Celia.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Had you concluded?
If there's no further questions from the panel.
This as well.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Levin?
You want to jump up and talk me out of it? Or go ahead.
What about the deference issue, Mr. Levin? The deference we owe to the board.
With respect to deference, Your Honor, to begin with, deference is appropriate where a statute is found to be ambiguous, and there's been no showing that this statute is ambiguous. In fact, the language is not ambiguous. Moreover, aggravated felony determinations have dual applications both in the immigration and criminal law context, and there's no indication that the Board of Immigration Appeals or the IJ have any specialized criminal law knowledge such that this question of law should be that the resolution of this question of law should be deferred to the agency below. Moreover, the government contends that the BIA properly focused on the plea agreement, but the only element of the plea agreement that was cited was that two or more persons came together to agree to run a prostitution business. The plea agreement is silent as to whether Mr. Familia Rosario was one of those people. In fact, it does not indicate at all that he was. He was an aider and abettor, and that missing element of being a party to the agreement.
What was he pleading to?
He was pleading to aiding and abetting a conspiracy, which under this court's jurisprudence requires different elements than actually pleading to a conspiracy. In fact, in exchange for his plea agreement, the prosecution dropped the substantive conspiracy offense.
And he got a minor, participant adjustment, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. The prosecution acknowledged that he was a minor participant, although his role has now been elevated to that of critical. moreover, this court's case in Desai and the BIA's published case on Beltran related to governing the definition of relates to lead to the conclusion that under that, that although that phrase is broadening, it still requires involvement with the owning, controlling, managing, or the functional equivalent of owning, controlling.
Since my clerks are present, I want to clearly understood that my knowledge of prostitution comes only from my position as a prosecutor. I'm not
and mine comes only from working on this case, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levin. Thanks to all counsel. Case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.